Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Chris Elogi, Patrick Mifflin, and Teresa Sammons. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah. So, this week's episode is going to be for September 11th, 2020. I don't know why, but I feel like I'm supposed to remember something.
The Alamo?
No. A harbor?
Right. Getting warmer.
Yorktown?
Like as warm as jet fuel needs to be to melt steel?
Something about...
getting hoard out of the fashion statement?
Yeah. Something. I remember that Jackie Chan had a movie he couldn't release anymore because of something that happened then.
I forgot about that.
Ah, well, it'll come to us.
And Slayer had a really unfortunate album cover.
Yeah. And then The Coup also had an album that came out right around that time that also had a rather unfortunate album cover. But it's all right. No worries. It'll more than likely it'll end up sneaking on up on us and hitting us when we least expect it. I'm terrible.
See what you did there.
Yeah. It'll be like, you know, getting just two random shots in the head and then one landing in a field in Pennsylvania.
Something
was
like that.
Was that the step too far? Was that the one I should have stopped at?
I mean, maybe. We'll find out when we see our listenership next week.
Look, it's been almost 20 fucking years, okay? I was a freshman in high school when that shit happened.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. There's been at least a whole generation that was born that never experienced that, and in fact has never lived in a pre-9/11 world.
No, and like some of them
have
kids.
Yeah, they get the vote this year.
Yeah.
Some of them.
You know, there's this weird somberness to it years after the fact that, frankly, just reeks of bullshit. Like, yeah, it was an awful thing. I had a fucking panic attack when it happened. I remember it all very distinctly.
Yeah.
But it's 20 goddamn 20. Like, yeah, light a candle, say a prayer, maybe play the national anthem, and we're good.
Or, you know, you could try to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I hear that didn't go over so well for the FLOTUS.
Yeah, and apparently the POTUS, too, he left out the two very key words that a whole fucking culture war has erupted over.
Now, is he old enough to have grown up saying it without that? Okay.
Well, he's in his 70s, and they didn't put it in until the 50s, so...
Yeah. Because I was thinking, like, my mom was the one who grew up with the under God, and then the rest of us from her.
Yeah.
But people older than her, nah. Nah, they didn't.
That was,
I don't want to give him any kind of leeway here. Especially not this week.
No.
And you're going to hear why.
Oh, yeah.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Yes. Mm-hmm. But anyway, other than that little bit of a elephant in the room, if you want to call it that, we had some other shit that went down this week, including one other reason why gender reveal parties need to just fucking die already.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
But you know what? On the subject of gender reveal parties, if you haven't been invited to one, you've picked the right kind of friends.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
We also have news from Amazon about that series based around Joe Exotic, the one that Nick Cage is going to be in. We also found out that Netflix is going to be adapting The Three Body Problem, which is awesome. And then we find out who the writers and showrunners are going to be, and suddenly I'm like, okay, this could either, there's like a 50-50 chance this will be good, or it will crash and burn. And Rudy Giuliani is crooked as fuck, and we found out another way he is just this week.
I missed that one. That'll be fun to hear.
Oh, yeah. But, we got all of that and more on this episode of Let's Weekend, so let us start off as we always do. Chris, what are you up to? Or what have you been doing this week?
It's just been a busy week. Also finding out the main way I would get to work a few weeks ago, they started doing construction, and the sign they put up was like, oh, it'll be like 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. I was like, oh, great. I'm off that day. It'll be fine. I found out the other day, because I looked it up on the city's site, that it's going to be going until 2023.
Mm-hmm.
What?
So I have to find a... I have a different way to get there. It's, but yeah, it's not fun to be like, oh, this is going to be just one day. Now it's 3 years of construction. Which I think the entire project they're doing around that area is going to 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, okay, sure. That's fine. Just goddamn, why does it take so long? But, yeah, it's been a busy week. Rained all Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I got nice and wet then. Lots of storms too that day. So that was a real fun day. But yeah, I've been watching more Better Call Saul. Mm-hmm. Getting real good. I think I'm in season 3. I've been liking that a lot still. They introduced a major character from the original show, Breaking Bad, to it, and he's still really good in his role. So that's all going well. Also mm-hmm. been watching Cobra Kai because that is on Netflix now. 2 seasons. I'm nearing the end of the first season. I think I'm on episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really good. And it does a lot of good stuff in terms of just not being like a rehash of the original movies.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, modern day. The kid that was his main rival in the original movie is the kind of the focus here. Mm-hmm. That kind of splits time with Daniel LaRusso, who and he has kind of revived Cobra Kai, but in kind of a bit of a different form. It's kind of takes a few episodes for you to kind of see everything start to come together. The first few episodes are kind of just like, ah, this is weird. This guy from the 80s, still very much an 80s dude.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of out of his time a little bit, especially just the way that he is very un-PC about everything.
Yeah.
In a way that's kind of a jerk move, but also kind of shows that, you know, that's kind of the person he is. But yeah, it's, yeah, I'm getting to the point where it's kind of starting to set in, because you kind of get to a certain point where you're like, oh, is this going to be like, kind of like the original movie, in that there's these two like rival main characters, but they're both going to be kind of good, sympathetic. Whereas in the original, they're just, you know, you need the guy from Cobra Kai was just kind of an asshole. So just the rest of his guys are all just kind of dude bro assholes. But starting to round into shape what this whole thing, because it's starting to center around this the under 18 Valley tournament that is coming up, and yeah, it's a lot of fun, especially kind of the way that they tie in like modern stuff. Like there's a whole big thing about cyberbullying and all that,
mm-hmm.
though they kind of go a little bit overboard with all that shit, because one of the main mean girls is just a complete asshole the entire fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, does she ever have a fucking off switch on this, just trying to belittle everybody kind of thing? It's like, maybe not. That's kind of like the thing I took was like, how does everybody that's not a main character just such a fucking asshole the entire time? Even some of the adults are starting to take that form for the ones that are not the main characters, so... Still going to keep watching it and see like how it all changes. It still seems in flux pretty much so far. But mm-hmm. yeah, well worth watching, especially if you like the original. Yeah, they even talk about, you know, they do a nice little memorial to Miyagi and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's some nice stuff there. As for games, been playing more Tony Hawk, kind of working my way through. Still the first game, kind of going back now that I've upgraded a bunch of stats to kind of do more of the goals I've been skipping so far, which is a lot of the score stuff. As I get better at the game, I still have some issues just with how I play it, which
Tony
is me kind of trying.
Tony Hawk Rust is real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't know if this is Rust more than it's the limit of my skill, which is me like trying to cue into other moves faster than the game allows. So I end up just ending my combos and just fucking up way too much for how hard some of this stuff should be. But yeah, kind of working my way through that. Been playing more Dark Souls. Beat some more bosses. Getting some weird parts of the game where I'm meeting these crystal gorillas that are out this one area. I killed one of them barely. I was like, all right, fuck this. I'm out of here. This is way out of my league.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a backwards way of getting into this area from a different part of the map, but it works. It worked okay, but yeah, I was like, all right, these things do not fuck around. So that means I probably shouldn't be here.
Nope.
Come back later.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think that way, if you're going towards the Tauros Demon, there's a dude that's at the bottom of that tower that has a giant club that just
yeah, and he will absolutely mangle you in a very short time.
Which the way I ended up beating him is just essentially going in, just doing a glass cannon approach.
Yeah,
I just take off all my armor, so I'm completely light and I can dodge more easily than I have been the entire game. And take my claymore, my Zweihander that I got from beating something, I forget what it was. And just going in, figuring out his moves, and after like several times dying to him, and then just coming back and just fucking him up. Getting a bunch of the back, hits from the back, that kind of stuff. Just kind of getting around him. Beat the Gaping Dragon, which is a dragon that lives up to that name. For the way it's designed, it's a very gross dragon demon thing. Mm-hmm. Beat this like Midnight Butterfly. I forget what the actual name is, but it's this giant butterfly that is not too hard, but it just requires nailing the execution when you get to it.
Mm-hmm.
That occasionally decides, you know what, just fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
And it launches this one attack. It's just like it's like a missile at you that you don't really realize it's going to be that until it gets to you. But yeah, that's been fun kind of continuing to work through that. And I got Dark Souls 2 and 3 lined up on Steam now because Humble Bundle had them on sale for about $25 for the pair.
Nice.
So I was like, all right, I got these lined up for once I get through these. Also, I've been getting some more time into Control. And that has been still a lot of fun. It's still a really good game. They just need to get the issue fixed where you can actually save your settings for changes. Luckily, I don't really have anything major to change, just purely for some of the accessibility stuff. But that stuff seems really cool for what they've added. You can kind of make it so if you're just having trouble with the game itself, you can just kind of make yourself kind of invincible. All that kind of stuff, so you can just kind of play through it and experience the a lot of the cool stuff it has to offer. If it's kind of out of your reach a little bit, so they did a really good job with that kind of accessibility stuff. Not maybe as in depth as like the Last of Us Part 2 or anything like that, but for what that game is, it's really nice options. But yeah, that's been pretty much it. How about you, Pat?
I have gotten confirmation that I did, in fact, invoke a nuclear option in dealing with my Sega Saturn emulation woes. So far, I've got the bidding, if you will, up to the Wii U and counting. This Alienware is an absolute beast. I honestly think the cutoff might go all the way up to current gen, because even PC versions of Xbox One games don't really like running at full spec on this. But I don't see it having much trouble with PS3 or Xbox 360 when the time comes. And honestly, I wouldn't even be surprised if Switch is on the table. So, this is a powerful little box I got. And the setup thereof has pretty much dominated my week, but that still makes for one hell of a week. So that's been it for me.
All right. Teresa, what about you?
I've been playing a weenie mobile game most of the week. Because that's just... my mind is a little fried, and that's about all the concentrating that I could do. So, I was playing Bloons TD Battles and a little bit of Animal Crossing. Caught a king salmon this week, which was nice. I needed that to add to the museum. And we are still just like snow plowing through the expanse. And I think there are 4-5 seasons available right now. Something like that.
I remember Phil being pretty big on that one as well.
Yeah. It's a hell of a story. We're in season 2. And then I also, because we have 3 Switches around here, I pre-ordered the 3D Mario collection. And I'm just sitting here waiting for that to come out. and waiting. Isn't it like the 18th or something?
It's soon.
Yeah, that's not too far away. I went ahead and got that in at Best Buy. I don't know like if people are having problems pre-ordering it or not. I don't think so. I saw it show up on slickdeals.net at as Target pre-order. Although it was full price, so maybe people are having a hard time pre-ordering that. Maybe the pre-order sold out. But anyway, we were going to make sure that we had that. There's no effing way I'm going to buy a digital copy and then have to fight to get it to play on all 3 consoles. And I mean, I guess with a physical, we can't play it all at the same time. But what's the odds that we're all going
to move it from one to another?
Yeah.
Convenient.
Exactly. Exactly. But really, other than work, man, it's been a hell of a week, though. I don't know. It's like the week that just fell into a pit and died.
Yeah, honestly, fuck this week.
Yeah.
I mean, apart from the Alienware thing, it's been pretty shitty for me, too. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess as far as good things this week, you know, I ate some good food. What more am I gonna say? It's been weird. It's been a confusing week. So yeah, that's really it. What have you been doing, Brandon?
All right. Well, as for me, I'm still playing Final Fantasy 15. Still good. Still liking it. Still a lot of fun. I've actually started, I think, what is supposed to be, like, the second half of the game. Or, I'm trying to remember, like, how many chapters in total there are for, this game. Because I think I'm on, like, chapter 9. I got to ride some chocobos. So, that was a thing. It's a fun little game. I mean, it's not little by any definition, but it's fun. I also went to GameStop and I got me a copy of Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition for the Switch. For those who don't know, this is essentially the remake of the original Xenoblade Chronicles for the Wii. And they basically gave it like a fresh coat of paint. They redid a lot of the character models, redid a lot of the animation. Stuff like that. So it actually looks really good now. Because, I mean, even when the first Xenoblade Chronicles came out, originally. And even though, I mean, it was really like heralded and acclaimed by critics because it was a damn good game, it was still pretty primitive looking, even by Wii standards. But, you know, the level, the like environmental design and everything made up for it with just how unbelievably gorgeous it looked. You know, except for, you know, if you got too close to any of the patterns, and you'll realize how blurry they actually look. But yeah, so they did all that, and on top of that, they actually added a epilogue chapter to this game, like a whole new epilogue chapter after you reach the end. That takes place about a year after the original game ends, so there's new content. So yeah, if you get a chance, play it. It's a damn good game. It's absolutely, the hype is real.
I've actually got a copy sitting here on my desk. I just haven't gotten around to playing it yet.
Yeah, well, now's your chance. What else? Anime. Taking advantage of my Funimation subscription. And I was watching Slayers, you know, the original Slayers, the one from the 90s.
As you do.
Yeah. And it's good. It's the one with, like, the original English dub with all the original English voice actors. So it's really a blast from the past. it's actually finally started to cool down over here.
Good.
Yeah, like, we've only had high, like, except for, like, the last 2 days where it got up to, like, 88. The highest we've gotten here is, like, 82 or 83. Which I know for some people that doesn't sound like a whole lot, but when you've gone weeks on end where it's been, like, 94, 95.
That's a huge relief.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
at least it wasn't, like, was it Colorado? About 100 and then had snow the next day.
Yeah.
Went down to 34, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a meme going around some Utah Facebook pages that said temperatures went from 90 to 55 so fast that it was like they saw a state trooper.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
All right. So, what else? Oh yeah, my dad like completely busted his middle finger and had to go get stitches.
The fuck
did
happened?
Yeah. On it?
he's got all the gauze wrapped around it, so yeah, he's basically going to be walking around basically involuntarily flipping people off for the foreseeable future.
That's going to be awkward.
Well, yeah. Right in time for the election, you know, it's perfect.
Yeah. Except they already voted. Well, they put in a mail-in ballot because they're going to be going to Florida in mid-October until early November. So
we don't get ours for another week and a half or so.
Yeah. And let's see. What else? But yeah, so, you know, the world is no longer lava. So hooray! And, of course, I'm not gonna celebrate too early because, well, you know, summer technically ends, I think...
21st, 20th, right in that round there?
Yeah, like about a little over a week. But, as we always talk about asshole summer here, it's possible, like, right around the 24th, he'll decide to poke his head in and, you know...
Yep. And then don't forget drunk asshole summer.
Yeah. When he shows up in the middle of October for like a day and all of a sudden it shoots up into the early 90s. It's like, fuck, dude. But yeah. All right. So with that, if we got anything else we want to add before we move on.
Battle Gear 3 is great. Play it.
All righty then.
PS2 Gem never made it over here. Highly recommended if you like your arcade racing.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty then. With that out of the way, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And there was a certain trailer for a film that came out this week. The newest film version of Frank Herbert's Dune. And we will be discussing it, as you would think. But before we do that, I want to briefly brief up the fact that, as some of you probably know, this is not the first time Dune has been adapted into film.
No, no.
Oh, no, no. There was the David Lynch film from the early 80s that bombed.
But like was a famously features Sting in a diaper.
In a Speedo, but yeah. Yeah.
Because the 80s.
Because the 80s, and because he's Sting.
Yeah.
There was also the miniseries that the Sci-Fi Channel did back in around the turn of the millennium, I think. And and ever since then, there's been like these off-and-on attempts to turn Frank Herbert's book into a film. And the truth of the matter is, it's actually, if anybody who's ever read the original Dune can tell you, it's actually kind of a hard movie to adapt. Because it's a very information-dense book. There's a lot of history. Huh?
So it needs a trilogy?
It could. The thing is, the book, before the events of the book even begin, there's already like this enormous amount of backstory that's already happened. Explaining, like, for example, why are there no robots in this future? Or, why does everybody seem to have united around a single church and are reading something called the Orange Catholic Bible? Or, why is it that in the future, apparently everyone has degenerated back to feudalism?
Mm-hmm.
No, that last one was a general question because I honestly have no goddamn idea.
Well, I mean, if you look at history, we were doing pretty
fucking
good.
We could ask Scott and he could probably tell us, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's what a lot of people do not know. The David Lynch version was not going to be the first version of Doom in film. There was actually another version that was going to be made in the 70s. That was going to end up predating Star Wars. It was going to predate Alien. It was going to predate the Star Trek movies.
Really?
Yeah, it was going to predate all of these things. And it was, put it frank, it was going to be goddamn balls to the walls insane. Because this particular film version was going to be directed by probably one of the most iconoclastic and bizarre individuals in modern independent film. A man by the name of Alejandro Jodorowsky.
Okay.
Okay, so a little bit of a backstory on who Jodorowsky is. Because he's still very much around, and he's still making movies. Jodorowsky is a dude who was originally born to, I believe, Polish and Ukrainian parents in Chile, who then moved to Mexico, where he spent most of his life. And he is a man of many talents. If you go to his wiki page, there he is. It says here. He's said he is a Chilean French filmmaker and artist. So yeah, he lived in Mexico, then he went to Chile, then he went to France. Guy's been all over the world, basically.
Yeah.
And it says here, he has worked as a novelist, a screenwriter, poet, a playwright, an essayist, a film and theater director and producer, an actor, a film editor, a comics writer, a musician and composer, philosopher, puppeteer, mime, psychologist and psychoanalyst, a draftsman, a painter, a sculptor, and a spiritual guru.
Well, that went to some pretty weird places.
Yeah. And before he made what he originally intended was going to be Dune. He made two really bonkers fucking movies. In 1970, he put out a film called El Topo, which is a they used to have a term called the acid western. It's basically a western film, but it also like it uses a lot of like 60s countercultural themes, and also because it was probably made on a lot of acid. Yeah. He actually wrote, directed, and also stars in it. His son is also in it as well. It's famous for becoming like one of the first midnight movies, as people call them. He once stated, "I ask of film what most North Americans ask of psychedelic drugs. The difference being that when one creates a psychedelic film, he need not create a film that shows the visions of a person who has taken a pill. Rather, he needs to manufacture the pill." That's a pretty good, a good explanation of what El Topo is as a movie. It's fucking weird. Then he made another movie that he wrote and directed and also starred in called The Holy Mountain, and it's somehow less comprehensible than El Topo was, because it's loaded with a lot of like religious and spiritual allegory and surreal imagery and shit. It's weird. He was even asked to make a film version of The Story of O, which is a... It's a notorious erotic novel about a female masochist. He didn't make it, but knowing his work, I'd know he was certainly fucking capable of it. So, suddenly he gets the idea to make a movie of Dune. Now, here's the thing. He never read Dune. All of the ideas, like the basic ideas for the movie, he got from a friend of him who had read the book, told him it's great, and here was the basic idea. That's just the oddest part of it. The smallest, oddest part of it. There's actually a lot of other weird shit that goes down with it. But you get the idea. Like, he made, like, concept art and stuff for this, what was going to be this movie. And it is balls to the wall insane in the best way possible. So here's what was going to happen. Okay, quick question. Do you guys know what the basic plot of Dune is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. So you kind of have an idea of, like, who these characters are. Yeah. You know, there's Paul Atreides. He's the hero. No. Is it Paul? Is Paul the... Yeah. I think it is. Yeah. Paul's the son. His father is... forgot what his name is.
Leto.
Yeah. So, you know, you've also got Baron Harkonnen, you've got Paul Atreides' mother, you've got the Bene Gesserits, you got the people who actually live on the planet of Arrakis, including, you know, Paul Atreides' future wife, the sandworms, all this shit. You know this.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. He planned to cast, in the role of Emperor Shaddam IV, Salvador Dali. It would be his only speaking role as a film actor. He was going to cast, as for like Baron Harkonnen, he wanted to cast Orson Welles for it. And apparently Orson Welles only agreed to do it if Jodorowsky hired his favorite gourmet chef to prepare his meals for him during the filming. Paul Atreides was to be played by Jodorowsky's son. The guy that, if you remember in the David Lynch film, the character that was played by Sting,
mm-hmm.
That character was going to be played by Mick Jagger.
All right.
Yeah, well. And like I said, Paul Atreides was going to be played by Jodorowsky's son, Brontis Jodorowsky. The music would have been composed by two groups. One is the French band Magma. Magma is a French progressive rock band that is so esoteric that all of their songs are this epic science fiction story conveyed through a made-up language. Oh, yeah, and the other part of the music was going to be composed by Pink Floyd.
Play drugs in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm. So you're probably asked, okay, so he's got like this concept art, and I think, who is he going to bring on as his artistic director and designers? Well, one of them was a gentleman by the name of Jean Girard. Comic fans will know him as Mobius. And he's actually important because he plays a little bit of a story in a little bit later in this, okay? The other one, and this would have ended up being his first work in film, predating the film that would make him most famous. H.R. Giger.
Oh.
Oh, yes. And, yeah, he was going to be like the landscape and building designer. And I've seen some of the concept art that he created for this, for what was going to be this movie. Oh, yeah. It is exactly what you think it is. Now, you're probably wondering, okay, so what did Frank Herbert actually think about all this himself? Because Frank Herbert was very protective of his vision. Herbert and Jodorowsky apparently had a pretty amicable relationship. Apparently they just found out like, we're actually a lot alike, weirdly enough. When he traveled to Europe in 1976, when the film was still in pre-production, he found out that about 2 million of the $9.5 million budget had already been spent, and that Jodorowsky's script would have resulted in a 14-hour movie. He was quoted as saying it was the size of a phone book.
God.
And eventually what happened is this movie never got made because eventually there was just no studio that was willing to fund the movie on Jodorowsky's terms. So you're thinking, okay, so then what happened after that? Well, the rights to the film were eventually sold to Dino De Laurentiis, who is, you know, a famous producer. And he ended up giving over the project to David Lynch. And he was the guy who put out the version that we saw in 1984. Now, all of this is actually... there's actually a whole... a documentary, actually, that was made about how this film was going to be made. It's called Jodorowsky's Dune. You ever get a chance, watch it. It is amazing. And one of the things that you'll find out very quickly as you're watching this is that a lot of the big individuals who originally got their start working on this project, a lot of them would end up working for like Lucasfilm, Industrial Light and Magic, DreamWorks, stuff like that. And you can see like inspiration for what was going to be Jodorowsky Dunes and such films as Star Wars, Alien, Terminator, Flash Gordon, Raiders of the Lost Ark. You can find itsy bits and pieces of it all over there. But not all these ideas completely left Jodorowsky. Jodorowsky ended up teaming back up with Mobius, and he decided, you know what? I got all these ideas that I need to use for something. Let's just turn it into a comic. And that's exactly what he did. And he ended up creating what many consider to be the greatest science fiction comic ever created in the French language, a comic called The Incal. If you've ever seen the movie Heavy Metal, the original one, you can see a lot of The Incal in that.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. And, that was Jodorowsky's Dune, the greatest film adaptation that never got made. And that has been yet... that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. With that out of the way, it is now time to move on to the show proper. And as always, we have to start off with our assholes of the week. And our first and arguably biggest asshole of the week, this asshole's in California who... Is it California or Colorado?
California.
California. Who had a gender reveal party explosion... and the explosion ended up starting the El Dorado wildfires.
Yep, destroyed 7,000 acres and forced many people to flee their homes.
Mm-hmm.
They've had more than 500 firefighters and 4 helicopters battling this fire. which started last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the first one we've had like this.
Nope.
It started because some idiots needed to one-up something to announce the gender of their baby.
Mm-hmm.
When you could just fucking do a cake or just say, hey, it's a boy.
Yeah. This is a bunch of, like, rich white people shit.
Oh, yeah. They're not even rich. They're just pretending.
They're privileged, at least.
Oh, yeah, they are that.
Yeah.
Is it really any wonder that even the creator of gender reveal parties hates them now and wishes she'd never started it?
The only reason she did is because she had a string of miscarriages and finally got one to stick.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she was pretty excited about it and decided to do something different, but yeah, she's like, stop. And the kid that she had the gender reveal party for doesn't even identify as that gender, so that's the second reason she wants it to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It says here, Cal Fire law enforcement determined the El Dorado fire burning near Oakland in San Bernardino County was caused by a smoke-generating pyrotechnic device used during a gender reveal party. Those responsible for starting fires due to negligence or illegal activity can be held financially and criminally responsible.
Mm-hmm.
We especially need to stop the fucking fireworks stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just make that illegal completely for.
Because
they're getting stupid people to make some of these things and putting together chemicals that should not be together.
No.
Just
People have unintentionally made pipe bombs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just
make some blue or red Jello,
or just make a cake, man.
Text people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. Here's an idea. Just don't fucking talk about it. Nobody else gives a shit.
What a con.
You know, maybe the grandparents do, but
whatever. They won't care either way which one it is.
Mm-hmm. Just goddamn, this is just a bunch of suburban white people bullshit. And I fucking hate it.
Oh, is.
Yep.
Except that, fucking nobody I know around here does that.
Yeah, and nobody in my immediate circle does it either. Like, it's not really a thing here in the South.
No.
And you think anywhere was going to latch onto something like that.
Yeah.
Right?
You would think this would be something that would be just fucking, like, hell yeah. Especially when you get to blow shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think that'd be that is just right up Cracker Alley, but nope.
Oh god.
Fuck.
Well, it's because it's more than just blowing shit up. It's for a specific reason versus just, you know, I feel like lighting some stuff on fire and blowing something up. Versus I gotta show people
I have something too I could many do. Fingers.
Yeah.
You know what? I got some Tannerite that's, you know, going bad.
I could say this in two words, three words.
Yeah.
But I gotta have an overly elaborate event going on.
Yeah. All right. Another asshole of the week we got is the acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf. A whistleblower revealed this week that he had been changing assessments to match Trump's assumptions.
Yeah.
For the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah, when it comes to things like interference for voting, that kind of stuff, and general political discourse, all that kind of stuff, pointing it away from Russia being the general one to, hey, mention China and Iran. Which are doing some, but Russia's probably the main antagonist here.
Mm.
As well as playing down U.S. white supremacist activity.
Because, of course.
Because it's conveniently bad for the one in the White House.
Mm-hmm. Because, of course.
Yeah. Nothing too surprising here, because we've heard about how they had to change reports to the president because he, you know, we'll be less interested if there's not pictures and if he's not mentioned in there a couple of times, that kind of stuff. they would go the rest of the way and just say, hey, let's just not mention the unpleasant parts. Things like that.
Yeah.
Especially when we know that this head secretary of the DHS is an illegitimate one at that.
No, he has not actually. He is an acting secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And don't think that's not by design.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about the Trump administration, we of course have to talk about Trump himself. He decided to basically, I guess what he thought was him playing his trap card or whatever. He revealed a threatening list. Revealed a threatening list of like 20 SCOTUS candidates that he was going to nominate for his second term. And it's like a list of 20 people that you want nowhere near. Yeah.
Some of these are actual judges.
If I needed any further reason to vote Biden, there it is.
He wants to nominate Ted Cruz for the Supreme Court.
Yeah, there's Senator Ted Cruz, Tom Cotton, and Josh Hawley. Or Hawley.
Yeah.
I think Hawley has essentially said thanks, but no thanks. He has more interest in just being a Senate person.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Ted Cruz, you know, kissed his ass for, you know, the recommendation. Let's see. Yeah, there's a number of judges on here, which is fine. Those are sort of people that would typically be more qualified for this, but there's, let's see, Kate Todd, Deputy White House Counsel.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Ambassador to Mexico. Let's see, Noel Francisco, former Solicitor General under the Trump administration. Yeah, like, stuff like that. So it's like...
It's like the worst.
That's some hand in the cookie jar shit.
Yeah. By the way, yeah, so there's that. Also, our other assholes of the week include a bunch of dipshits in Oregon, because a bunch of QAnon followers were flooding 911 dispatchers with calls that the fires in the West were being set by Antifa.
Yeah, the ones in Oregon.
Yeah. So much so that, like, the actual sheriff's department had to put out, like, a presser saying, yeah, this is a bunch of bullshit. Please stop wasting our time with this.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that anybody has to say, no, it wasn't Antifa setting this.
Yeah.
Setting these fires, because that serves no purpose for them to be doing this. And, yeah, they've been over on calls about the false online rumor that Antifa members have been arrested for setting the fires, which is also not true. Yeah, this was pushed by QAnon followers.
Shocking.
Let's see. Yeah, Q had made this specific claim about 12 hours earlier on early Thursday morning to a tweet from Paul Joseph Romero Jr., former U.S. Senate candidate who lost his Republican primary in May, also claimed the Douglas County Sheriff's Office had 6 Antifa arsonists in custody. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's largely it.
Yeah. And finally, and this last story is a special fuck you because I kind of relate to this one. A bunch of asshole police, a police officer in Salt Lake City shot a 13-year-old boy who was on the autism spectrum after his mom called 911 for help.
Yep.
Well, didn't she specifically call to tell them that he's just having a hard time with her going back to work after a year and, you know, just let him be, even though he's having a freak out, leave him alone? That's kind of the vibe that I got from it, but I was reading a whole lot into that.
Let's see. She reportedly told officers that her son was unarmed, describing him, quote, as a kid, trying to get attention. He doesn't know how to regulate. Said she was told to stay put when officers arrived at her house. Within minutes, Barton said she heard voices yelling, get down on the ground, followed by several gunshots. Let's see. Officers called the scene shortly after 10 p.m. to respond to a, quote, violent psych issue involving juvenile who, quote, had made threats to some folks with a weapon.
There's no weapon.
Yeah. This is people not being equipped to handle people with mental health issues, or autistic, all that kind of stuff. Not the traditional kind of threats that they would be trained for. Being sent in is like, one, you shouldn't call 911 over this sort of thing.
Yeah, the last thing you fucking do is call the police.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I said he fled from the address on foot. One police officer fired him during a short foot pursuit. Officer provided medical aid until he was transported to a hospital. He was ordered to be in serious condition. Yeah, it's not the way you handle it, but our next little story here shows like how you should actually handle this kind of thing.
Yeah, for those of you who might be new to the show or don't know, I'm on the spectrum myself.
Same.
Yeah. And let's just say this particular story does not make me happy.
No.
Does not make me happy at all.
No. I have a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about it either.
Well, at least we actually have some good news to follow that up with, because we got a hero of the week. There is a new program in Denver, Colorado, that will be sending mental health professionals and paramedic to some 911 calls instead of police.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is one they've been doing since, I believe, June.
Mm-hmm.
What they call Support Team Assistance Response Program, STAR. Which sends a mental health professional and a paramedic to some 911 calls instead of the police. Started June 1st, StarVan has responded more than 350 calls, replacing police in matters that don't threaten public safety and are often connected to unmet mental or physical needs. Also connect people who pose no danger with services and resources, while freeing up police to respond to other calls. The team, which is not armed, has not had to call for police backup. So it shows that they're the right people to call for this thing. Yeah, they say we're really trying to create true alternatives to us using police and jails. Because that's definitely a big issue for people with mental health issues and those that are on the spectrum, where typically their health care they get is like half of them are going to, you know, jail or prison, that kind of stuff. Which is not what those are for.
Yeah,
it's kind of a great example of the sort of way that you can replace police as the general way to handle any sort of public issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's what defunding is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about more money for education, more money for social supports, more money for places where, you know, kids can go and learn some social skills or coping skills or whatever the F.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a YMCA or some sort of rec center.
Yeah, programs that de-escalate these situations.
Yeah.
Versus cops that need to escalate.
Or basically trained to see everything around them as a potential threat.
They're trained to be paramilitary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they talk about some examples here, like the teams responded to an indecent exposure call. It turned out to be a woman changing clothes, and only because she was unhoused and had no other private place to go. They were called out to a trespassing call for a man who was setting up a tent near someone's home. They helped people experiencing suicidal thoughts, people slumped against the fence, people simply acting strange. It's amazing how much stuff comes across 911 as the general, I don't know what to do, I guess I'll call 911. Mm-hmm. Someone sets up a tent, 911. Can't find someone, 911. Which, yeah, they don't do a great job of telling you, like, what alternate numbers to call.
You know, we have a big problem with that in American society, particularly in that we assume everybody knows what to do, but half of us walk around not knowing how the fuck to adult. And it's not just
I don't
us.
Know I mean, how to use my life.
Right? It's like everybody. It's everybody. And we've been trained to be so afraid of asking a question, you know, oh, because that's going to make you look stupid. Well, it's more stupid not to ask. And so part of the problem with the mask situation is we assume that everybody knows how to fucking put on a mask, but we assumed wrong And I'm not sure why that's surprising, because probably a good 65 to 75% of American parents do not know how to properly use child restraints in a car. They don't know how to put the motherfucker in right. They don't know how to put the child in right. They don't know which way it goes, how to tighten it. And that's just one small example of something that we assume everybody knows how to do, but we don't.
I was about to ask you which one was the motherfucker.
I mean, just like, you know, the first time I went up to a voting booth, I didn't know what the fuck to do. I was terrified. You just ask, or you just figure it out. You know, people, I didn't know how to pump gas. I didn't even know how to find the fucking gas cap in the car. Hint, it was really old and it was under the rear license plate. I just dated myself, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah, you did. Yeah,
a lot. It was a really old car, too.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, people don't know what to do, and so 911 has turned into a catch-all. I didn't get my nugget sauce at McDonald's, and they call 911.
Yeah.
No joke, that definitely happens.
Yeah. And there's a reason for that.
Every year that Walmart is actually closed, and that means the world is on fire.
Yeah. And I understand that there is a reason for all this. It's because education in this country fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you're not in the like normal group of people, education doesn't always know how to react to those people.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they have a disability or they just have, you know, some sort of blockage in their mind for keeping them from progressing, like, or just they have, you know, mental health issues, like something happening in their private life that just affecting the way they do things at school, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It can be all sorts of things. And if you're requiring even a little bit of extra help, sometimes some of these schools do not have any way of helping you.
Yeah, and a bunch of schools are so underfunded they can't afford guidance counselors or anything, but they sure as hell can afford an SRO.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like mm-hmm. there's the whole thing with the Simpsons when they move to the new town,
mm-hmm.
and they decide to put Bart in the the stupid kid program. It's like, so, yeah. Where it's like, oh, so how we're going to catch up is by going way slower than everybody. It's like, how does that work? That kind of thing. And it's like, you know, he's just a kid who was in a different system that didn't learn things as quickly as others did.
Mm-hmm.
And others had definitely had issues, but yeah, it's like, I would just put all these kids in the same thing because they're all on the same level when they're not.
Well, and that's a pervasive problem when kids change schools. And a lot of people talk big, big shit about Common Core education. But I lived through not Common Core education. Let me tell you, if every fucking state taught every third grader the same motherfucking thing, yeah. So that if they moved school, they wouldn't be basically 2 to 3 grades behind or ahead, because both suck. You know, that would have been great. And there's my little rant. Very, very small side rant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like things that we learn, like cursive. How much cursive do you use anymore? It's like only when you sign checks, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, like I remember being in high school, and remember, I was a freshman in high school in 2001, as I talked about in the first one. I was still using textbooks from the 80s.
Yep. 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 And so much had already changed, you know, especially for civics. Mm-hmm. I mean, the maps were out of date 5 minutes before the book was printed in 83.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or if you had a history book that's out of date or didn't go into certain this things way. That maybe should have.
Yeah, let me put it this way. My economics, the textbook we had for economics, it was so fucking old, it still had an entire section on it specifically about the Soviet Union.
Wow.
As if it was still a thing.
Yeah.
And remember, this is 2001.
It had been gone for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of stuff can also be just up to the teacher itself. Mm-hmm. Like here, we had a good segment in our history class. It was about the Kent State shooting that I imagine 99% of other kids around the country do not get.
Nope,
which, if any, sort of note about that.
Adult.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm one of, you know, a couple hundred or a thousand people that know, oh, yeah, when you guys are all jerking off to Star Wars on May 4th, that I'm sitting here being like, well, good, Disney stole one of the most important dates that our country should be teaching kids. Mm-hmm. When a president used a part of the military to police protests and killed a number of kids and scarred hundreds more.
And something that we should be revisiting as a history lesson, like 4 months ago. We should have revisited that 4 months ago.
Probably an early part of our problems dealing with school shootings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too.
Did I ever, public sentiment then was like, oh, hey, those kids deserved it.
Hey, Chris, did I ever send you one of the Pokemon gifts from the local college's memorial to Kent State back when we were playing?
I don't know. I don't always check all that stuff out.
Yeah. All right.
Some of those places are like, oh, it's another Starbucks. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, oh, here's this satellite campus for this college or whatever. Or here's like one of 15 churches within 3 miles of each other. Because they're all Pokestops.
More churches than bars.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's unfortunate there's not as much of a general curriculum. But it definitely makes sense that, you know, history, there's so much fucking history to learn. And if you really want to learn more, you'll do that in college if you go.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just read it on the internet, just go on Wikipedia. You'd only get a pretty good idea of what stuff's going on.
Yeah, I love how much more kids can know now than we knew.
Yeah, God, I mean, we had to open up fucking encyclopedias to learn about that shit.
Or microfiche.
You have to hope that you had the letter there.
Yeah.
If it's missing the letter, it's like, oh, I can't learn about World War II because W's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway.
Imagine if, like, somehow you could check out entire sections of Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, this whole section about Europe is gone. Someone checked it out.
All right. Well, moving on from there, we now got to open up the garage and back out the COVID-19 dump truck. Got a fresh load, and starting with that, worldwide, there are now 28.3 million recorded cases with 912,000 deaths. But in the United States specifically, there are 6.4 million cases recorded and 193,000 deaths. Meaning we're very quickly reaching the 200,000 mark.
Yeah, I think we're going to hit 1 million deaths worldwide and 200,000 deaths in the U.S. by the end of the month.
Yeah.
It's horrible, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is
it gets worse.
A long time.
Oh, it gets so much worse, because the big fucking thing that happened this week. Here we go. Bob Woodward, famously for his investigative journalism work in uncovering Watergate, he was doing a book on President Trump. He did 18 recorded phone interviews with the president. And during one of those phone calls, which happened in March of this year, which some of you may know, that was just right around the time when it finally hit everyone here in the U.S. Oh, shit, this is serious.
Yeah, March 19th.
Yeah. Trump admitted on the phone call that he actually knew how serious COVID-19 actually was.
Yep.
He knew that it was deadlier than the flu. He knew that young kids could get it as well as old people. He knew that they would have to take severe action in order to curtail the spread of it. And he, of course, did none of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as he said, I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down because I don't want to create a panic, which Biden jumped on that.
How does that rate as a crimes against humanity defense? I guess we're about to find out.
Just remember, folks, we're under 50 days until the election.
So. Yeah. 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 Biden jumped on this. Like, he wanted to avoid creating a panic, so he created a disaster.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, also said, well, I think if you said in order to reduce panic, perhaps that's so. The fact is, I'm a cheerleader for this country. I love our country. I don't want people to be frightened. I don't want to create panic, as you say. Certainly, I'm not going to drive this country or the world into a frenzy. We want to show confidence. We want to show strength. We want to show strength as a nation. And that's what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if that was your goal, you failed miserably. And of course, Trump couldn't say, like, this didn't happen because there were fucking tapes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the funny thing was seeing the GOP try to tear itself apart to...
Oh, my God.
Who recommended this to him?
It was a bunch of sharks who smelled blood in the water. It was...
Which meant Tucker Carlson ripping Lindsey Graham. Mm-hmm. It's like, sure, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, all the knives came out. It was great.
It was... they straight
like,
up...
Who let Trump do this?
Yeah.
It's like, he wanted to do this. He did not like the other Bob Woodward book... where he did not talk to him, not to get to put his point in there. So he was eager for this. And then obviously hindsight's 2020 that he should not have done it.
But see, that's the thing. He can't help himself.
Yeah.
It really makes you hope ghosts exist because it's fun to imagine Nixon as a fly on the wall.
Yeah. really fucked it up there, boss.
Yeah, and I've got some nice quotes here. Of less than 2 weeks later, the president said in a television interview, I think it's going to work out fine. I think when we get into April in the warmer weather, that has a very negative effect on that and that type of a virus. Let's see what happens. I think it's going to work out fine. Remember when he thought, it's going to get warmer and then that's going to stop it?
Yeah, that didn't fucking happen.
No, it got 100 plus degrees in many areas. And it's still roaring out there, especially if you're going to fucking things like Sturgis, where tons more cases came out of that. And like Trump held a rally the other day, not many people wearing masks. I was like, all right, it's probably going to get some more people there.
Mm-hmm. Look, his whole excuse was that, you know, I didn't want people to panic. And you know what? That would have been all well and good if you had actually followed through.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with the exception of the UK, most of the people in Asia and in Western Europe, they realized early on that it was going to be an issue. They told people, look, this is going to come through. Don't panic. We're going to have to take some precautions. We're going to have to... take some short-term actions here to stop the spread, and with your cooperation, we'll nip this in the bud. And it worked for most of them.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the UK isn't doing too good because, well, look who's leading their country right now. But no, he didn't do that. He tried to downplay it. He tried to pretend it didn't exist. He kept throwing out, like, bullshit quack cures.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, dangerous ones.
Yeah, remember when they were poo-pooing the notion that we could get to 100,000 to 200,000 deaths? It's like, oh, it's trending down to, like, 60,000.
Achievement unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going three times that now.
Yeah.
We're going to hit past 200K by the end of the month.
Mm-hmm. But it still gets worse because the Senate GOP managed to fall in their asses in trying to get a half-assed stimulus bill passed.
Yeah, one that had no stimulus checks.
Nope.
The unemployment insurance was going to be $300 instead of $600 per week.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to provide some money to states and such. A new bit of money for small business loans, mm-hmm. and schools, and all that kind of stuff. But the Democrats recognized this and just said, "No, we're not voting for this."
Mm-hmm.
They even got fucking Rand Paul on their side, so. So, you know, that's how kind of fed up he was with the Republicans, but he's like the one wild card. He does whatever the fuck he wants.
With Rand Paul, you have to wonder why he voted the way he voted. Because it's probably not going to be for the reason that that you would think.
Yeah.
But yeah, this it seemed like this was set up so that Mitch McConnell would come out of this and be like, see, the Democrats don't want to help you. As I said here, they can tell American families they care more about politics and helping them. It's like, this wouldn't help people the way that checks would.
Yeah.
So I think Senator Markey's whole $2,000 a month thing would be the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially being backdated to March. Because at this point, we'd probably be getting $12,000
Yeah.
If it were sent right now and here by the end of the month. Which is like, if you got $12,000 in a month per person, per taxpayer in your household, that would be a huge change for so many people.
Yeah. That would be life-changing money for me.
Yeah, that would be like, holy shit, I can actually fucking breathe. And not be in constant wondering what's gonna happen, when are we gonna get any sort of help on any of this.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, Mitch McConnell's in charge, so nothing can happen until maybe next January. If we can flip the Senate.
Yeah. And Harry Reid himself has said that he thinks there's a really good chance that Democrats are going to flip the Senate this election. So,
yeah.
Cross your fingers. And of course, go out and vote.
If we can get Cocaine Mitch out of there, we can do anything.
And as far as news on working on a vaccine, well, AstraZeneca had been working on a vaccine for a while, but they recently had to put it on hold because the test subjects were having adverse reactions to it.
Yeah, and this is I don't think it's that many of them, but enough where they needed to pause and kind of go back through and double check what they're doing. Yeah, which is normal part of a study. It happens on occasion. Yeah, there was like all the companies working on vaccines put out like a uniform statement saying, yeah, we're going to do this right, not rush it out.
Yeah.
Because there's no political motivations for them on this. Because they want it to be as safe as possible because, you know, you got the anti-vaxxers out there, but you even got the people that don't trust Trump's motivations for when this out here, which I think is fair. But yeah, we got to get the right one out there, not just the first one, not pull a Putin out there.
Exactly. All right, well, that's the load we got for the COVID-19 dump truck this week, so we're going to put it back in the garage, close the door, because we'll be bringing it back out next week, of course. Of course. All right. Next up, we're going off into the proper show proper now, and we start with a bit of another case of police brutality, but this time some good actually came out of it, because the police department chief of Rochester and a bunch of deputies stepped down after the murder of Daniel Prude.
Yep. This happened back earlier this year, March 23rd. Which involved them putting like a spit hood over his head and then kneeling on him with three dudes.
Yep.
To the point that caused...
Sound familiar, folks?
It kills people.
Yeah.
Yeah, though what they did is they caused some harm to his ability to just breathe. So he had asphyxiation, died 7 days later.
Yep.
So I didn't even get like a quick death out of it. to save them some pain. But yeah, the police chief did not go down quietly, saying, as a man of integrity, I will not sit idly by while outside entities attempt to destroy my character.
Oh, members of
the Rochester Police Department and the greater Rochester community know my reputation, know what I stand for. She's like, no, this happened on your watch.
Yeah.
Your people did this, and there need to be consequences for it.
Yeah. You're the leader here, and leaders take responsibility for the actions of their subordinates. That's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, the attorney representing Prude and his children called the chief's departure an important and necessary step to healing and meaningful reform in the community. Clear the conduct of the officers in Mr. Prude's case was inhumane. Subsequent cover-up was unacceptable. We look forward to securing justice for Mr. Prude and to having Rochester leaders do the hard work needed to address system issues of systemic racism and training protocols in the police department.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, we got some Twitter news. Twitter is expanding their policies on election information so that they can cover fake information on rules and rigging.
Yep. Which is definitely a hit at Trump.
Mm-hmm.
The way he constantly talks about the election being rigged, as well as either going to add fact check labels or hide altogether tweets that contain false or misleading information, cause confusion about election rules, or posts with unverified information about election rigging.
Good.
Which go into effect next week. Explicitly prohibit a lot of the material Trump is prone to posting. Been the company on a collision course with Trump while it tries to help steer the country through an unprecedented voting and post-election process. Which is wild that like Twitter's something that has to worry about that versus, I don't know, the federal government.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So what are all of these private sector loving conservatives saying about it?
Censorship. What about our freedom of speech?
Well, you're going to have to buy Twitter.
Yeah.
Because they're not a government entity.
You'd be shocked how many people really do not realize that.
Well, that's the toxicity of American politics.
Yeah.
Because not every country in the world has freedom of speech. Especially to the degree that we have it.
Yeah.
Which backfires big time when you got somebody like Trump in office.
Yep.
Who just spouts all the bullshit he wants that can't be easily stopped, at least in matters of government handling. But Facebook and Twitter can do all sorts of stuff.
Also, we don't have it on here, but since it's social media related, Facebook is planning on banning all political ads 1 week before the election.
Yeah. Honestly, too little, but it's something, I guess.
Yeah.
Which for them.
Wish everywhere else would take the initiative because, fuck, I am getting drowned in them.
Yeah.
Next up, so you guys remember that whole thing that, you know, during the scandal involving, you know, now candidate Joe Biden supposedly, you know, having his son get like comfy deals in Ukraine, and it ended up getting so big, apparently Donald Trump tried to make like this big it was basically a corruption, and he got impeached for it, by the way.
Yeah.
That seems like ancient history now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was only last year.
It was like late last year?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know how they kept talking about how they had informants in the Ukraine that were telling them about all of this? Specifically telling Rudy Giuliani?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it turns out that the Ukrainian informant that he was talking to was also a Russian agent.
Oh, shocking. Shocking that Rudy would be that stupid and involve them in another Russian agent.
Yeah.
Another member of his group that would do that. But yeah, this was, what's his name here? Andriy Derkach, who's a member of Ukrainian parliament. and said he has close ties to Russia's intelligence services for more than a decade. As our Treasury Department put sanctions on him on Thursday. I was accused him of waging a, quote, covert influence campaign since late 2019 targeting the U.S. election. So his campaign centered on promoting, quote, false and unsubstantiated narratives concerning U.S. officials in the upcoming 2020 presidential election. They pushed these claims into Western media through press conferences, interviews, and statements. Which included them appearing together, Rudy and this guy, on OANN in 2019, where they pushed their debunked corruption allegations against the former vice president. Giuliani used clips of that segment again on his podcast in March. Just to remind you that they were together. And now Giuliani is trying to downplay his connections.
I'll bet he is.
Saying, I never tried to influence the election. My work with him was over months ago, well before the election. He had no unique information that wasn't already known except the $5.3 billion that is being investigated in Ukraine, he told NPR in a text message. He also said he didn't provide the State Department with any of the information received from Derkach. All right, good luck, Rudy. So you've just put the... It's like, he wasn't trying to influence the election. He was literally trying to influence Biden's standing.
Yeah.
With the election being a year away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job, Rudy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Speaking of bullshit, you guys know about those, like, Trump boat parades that are just, like, everywhere in the South, basically?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, well, one of those ended up happening in Austin, Texas, and it ended with five of those boats sinking.
Yeah.
Several others in distress. It's now being called Dunkirk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's stupid people.
Mm-hmm.
Boating in a man-made lake that was not meant for however many boats there were on this lake. Yeah, and there's a great photo of one just getting swallowed up by waves with like 10, 12 flags on it. All of them Trump flags. No American flags.
Because
that would be too convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Facebook page for the Lake Travis Trump boat parade encouraged people saying, decorate your boats in patriotic colors and fly as many Trump flags as she can handle. Let's really make a statement. The statement wasn't what they intended. When the hundreds of boats started moving together, the wakes created unexpected turbulence. Before long, the Travis County Sheriff's Office received 15 distress calls. So three more reports of boats taking on water from a local towing company. Almost immediately upon the parade going into motion, TCSO began receiving distress calls from boaters. The distress calls varied and included boats taking on water, stalled engines, capsized boats, and boats sinking. Most of the boats taking on water were able to be towed. They sank to the bottom of the lake. Ultimately, five boats did sink during the event. Three of those were recovered. Two remained submerged as of Sunday. No injuries, luckily. And the office said it found no evidence of foul play. There's some dipshit on Twitter suggesting like Antifa somehow sunk the boats. I was like, no, you just let the stupid people do their thing and they'll sink it themselves.
Yeah.
Right? They just love having a boogeyman, don't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, Antifa, okay.
They have submarines!
Yeah, we got scuba divers who hang out at the bottom of the lakes, waiting for Trump boats to come by. And they have the old-fashioned, like, screw drill.
Yeah.
Drill. I guess some of these boats had messages on them saying, make the liberals cry again, which...
With laughter.
I don't know, but yeah, it's you know, stupid, play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Yeah.
Lots of great photos though. Took the main famous image out of this, colored the water blue. Saying the blue wave is coming for these people.
Yeah.
plenty of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And then of course there's that one photo of you know, the boat underwater.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love that one.
My favorite.
Well, Next up,
feeling.
All right, yeah. How many of you guys are familiar with Amazon Basics?
Your generic brand for cables and chargers.
Amazon.
Yeah, it turns out a lot of them are really fucking dangerous.
Oh, tell.
And on top of that, a lot of them are still on the market.
Yep. As a report on CNN that says, let's see, they talk about Anthony Dignotti from Connecticut had a fire marshal investigating this fire that happened at his place in January 2017 that charred his office chair. Had to go to the hospital. The chair caught on fire while he was sleeping. He was burned as he carried the flaming chair outside. I don't know why he wouldn't just try and douse it with water or something.
Yeah.
If he could, but...
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it said he noticed bowl strewn about, which he wrote about in his official report, had been filled with water in an attempt to extinguish the fire. Okay, he tried to, I guess. Maybe tried to get the fire away from other flammable stuff, I guess. But yeah, most interesting was a white USB cord. Part of the cord was hanging off the chair and still intact, but the other side was stuck to the seat and had melted into a bare wire. So it must have gotten like caught in the armrest there.
Yeah, that causes that result.
Yeah. The fire marshal colluded that the fire originated with the cord. Para had used to charge his cell phone, experienced a short circuit. While it was unclear why this happened, the heat produced by the cord ignited the upholstery of the office chair. And, of course, it was branded with Amazon on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on their Amazon Basics line, which is their sort of budget-friendly... like house brand of various electronics. Yeah, they identified more than 1,500 reviews about Amazon Basics electronics that use words like fire, dangerous, and burn. yeah, for their electronics and appliances. Posted by U.S. customers on Amazon.com from 2016 through early 2020. They described safety-related issues. More than 10% of the reviews identified by CNN reported that the products that caught fire, some cases describing how flames shot out of the devices.
Jesus.
Nearly 200 included reports of damage to homes or belongings, including charred walls and fried cell phones.
So when you have to get your gender reveal party on a budget.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, 30 items had three or more reviews like this remain for sale on Amazon today. This 11 other products that fit this criteria were no longer for sale at the time of publication. Some became unavailable after CNN began its reporting. At least four product pages were removed from the retailer's site entirely, leaving behind dead URLs known by employees as dog pages. Amazon confirmed that at least eight of these products had been under investigation, so the company determined they all met its safety standards.
There were some web analysts really scrambling to get into the database and deactivate those things.
Yeah, they show...
Yeah, that was not a fun day for their IT department.
Yeah, one image of a review here, Caught on Fire, is the title. As soon as I plugged it into my car, there was a mini explosion, sparks flew everywhere, and it caught on fire. I've never had an issue with things I plugged into my car. One star review. Car charger.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's...
Gender reveal party supplies. Pyrotechnics are expensive, guys.
Yeah, here's their microwave caught on fire. Do not use unsupervised.
Mm-hmm.
Had this about 4 months. Almost burnt down my house down. My 8-year-old stuck a mac and cheese cup in there like she has done a million times. And it caught on fire. Luckily, I was home. Took it outside and sprayed with a hose. Cheap, cheap, cheap. It started to form steam in front of glass about a week ago. I should have known. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, and I thought I had problems that the GFCI in my bathroom kicks off every time my washing machine kicks on.
Yeah, there's a video here of a microwave.
Oh, Lord.
Somebody showed. Not safe. One verified purchaser wrote in a review about an Amazon Basics microwave, including a home video that showed the device sparking and making loud popping noises.
Mm-hmm.
God.
But hey, the mac and cheese got cooked.
No matter of speaking, yeah.
Yeah. Has a lot of good review quotes here. Smoke alarm saved us. Woke this morning to the smoke alarm blaring. The source of the fire was Amazon Basics power strip in the spare bedroom. Nothing was even plugged into the strip. Fortunately, we keep a fire extinguisher on every floor of the house. 2 minutes later, and the whole room would have been up in flames. Reading the other reviews here, I see I'm not alone in declaring the various models of Amazon Basics power strips a fire hazard and should be removed from the market. Another one here, fire, fire, fire. Why are they still being sold after all the fire reviews? Malfunctioned internally and started a fire. Amazon said they would not warranty damage. Amazon said they would not warranty damage caused by fire. They would refund the power strip. I'll post pictures if able to clearly show the fire started inside the strip.
See, now that sounds like a class action suit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so if...
Yeah, I'm going through my Amazon history to make sure that the only Amazon basic thing that I have ever ordered was an HDMI cable. Mm. So far, so good.
I think the only thing I have is rechargeable batteries.
I almost ordered an Amazon Basics USB cable, and I'm really glad I didn't now.
You know, for the rechargeable batteries, Anker, Aki, and for anything, really, choose a brand name. Choose a brand name.
No, I have a USB cable from Wish that I trust more than I would trust Amazon Basics now.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting real good at going off topic here, but the best USB cable, and it's my fault, I know, USB cable I've ever gotten was the one that came with my Kindle, which consequently is Amazon, but apparently they sourced it way better. And this is like old. It's an old Kindle. It's not new. But yeah, just don't get that shit.
Yeah, they got a list of these different items at the bottom of the page. Links to, I think, the Amazon pages, just in case you need to check which ones particularly have at least some reviews mentioning some sort of fire hazard kind of reviews to it.
I'm going to have to say stick with your good brands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially for your classic kind of appliances.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And when you're talking about like USB-C cords that are powering really expensive things, like your Nintendo Switch, don't get off-brand shit. I don't think we should have to tell people that. But again, we assume that everybody knows what they're supposed to do. Don't use any off-brand with. Don't use anything but Nintendo with a Switch.
Yeah, I go with Monoprice. Their stuff is great.
Yeah.
Never had issues other than just wear and tear. That happens when you're like plugging a phone into a thing and wrench the end all around. Just like the sign, like, oh, I'm going to have to spend another like $2 or $3 to get another cable. It's like, yeah, sure. That's fine. $2 or $3 every couple years is fine.
Yeah.
Stay away from Amazon. At least for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's Anker or Aki.
Unless it gets to a point like another Simpsons episode where Homer tries to pour milk on the cereal and it catches fire.
It's a hell of a chemical reaction.
I guess the one where he's trying to cook food for Mr. Burns when he has to take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
He realizes, yeah, I can't do that. I can't even make cereal.
Yeah.
I think he beats him up.
Oh, good lord.
All right, well, moving on from there. We got some science news. Planet Jupiter. Jupiter famously has a bunch of moons, and apparently the moons appear to be warming each other up.
Oh. Yeah.
Is this a new phenomenon, or?
Yeah, people previously believed that Jupiter is kind of doing the tidal heating, as they call it here. Which would kind of make sense. The giant planet would be affecting the moons in such a way, but a study has shown that they're not really getting that effect due to Jupiter, but more from each other, especially the four big ones, Io, Europa, Ganymede, and Callisto. Particularly, I think they're talking about Io in here. Yeah, the trick to tidal heating is a phenomenon called tidal resonance. Resonance creates loads more heating. Basically, if you push any object or system and let go, it will wobble at its own natural frequency. If you keep on pushing the system at the right frequency, those oscillations get bigger and bigger. Just like when you're pushing a swing, if you push a swing at the right time, it goes higher. You get the timing wrong, and the swing's motion is dampened. Each moon's natural frequency depends on the depths of its ocean. And these tidal resonances were known before this work, but only known for tides due to Jupiter. Which should only create this resonance effect if the ocean is really thin. That's 300 meters or under 1,000 feet, which is unlikely. When tidal forces act on a global ocean, it creates a tidal wave on the surface that ends up propagating around the equator with a certain frequency or period. And Jupiter's influence alone can't create tides with the right frequency to resonate with the moons, because the moon's oceans are thought to be too thick. It's only when the researchers added in the gravitational influence of the other moons that they started to see tidal forces approaching the natural frequencies of the moons. And so, yeah, the moon begins to experience more heating than that due to tides raised by Jupiter alone when these other tides are generated by the other moons, which could result in the melting of ice and rock internally. I don't think it's necessarily like a global warming type of thing, but I think it's something that just kind of ebbs and flows over the millions of years. But yeah, their model assumes that the tidal resonances never get too extreme. But yeah, they want to kind of keep studying it and see how it goes in the future. Yeah, kind of a weird little thing about some of Jupiter's moons.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. Next up, we are now in the entertainment part of the show. With some sad news. After 7 seasons, The Venture Brothers has been canceled.
7 seasons spanning like 20 years, man.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, 17 years. they were working on season 8 earlier this year. At least writing for it when they got the news a few months ago. I kind of confirmed it the other day. Yeah, it's kind of sad because it's like probably the biggest show that was on Adult Swim over that time. Because it's kind of a show that started off like a lot of their other ones of that like early 2000s.
Or it could have been like parodying. A 1 or 2 season and then gone. And
well, and it was also a show that kind of piggybacked off of nostalgia for classic like Hanna-Barbera shows, that kind of stuff. But then kind of took a turn and went into its own thing.
Yeah.
Magnificently.
Yeah.
We were watching part of season 2 this week just for shits and giggles.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff there, especially like the episode with the contortion stuff. It was really fun. and the way they have to deal with like the bureaucracy of the villain and good guy kind of relationship that is built into the way their universe works. There's just a lot of great stuff in that show, especially when they do deal with like the Johnny Quest influences and all that. With a lot of that stuff.
That episode where they brought him back.
Yeah. Where they found out he'd just been like stowed away for many years, just going crazy. And they bring in his former brother.
Oh God, yes. Thaddeus, I think.
Yeah. Where it's like, oh, you kind of ate him, but then he somehow survived inside you. And
they like foreshadowed that too.
Yeah.
Like in some dream.
There's a lot of good stuff with that.
Beforehand, like way before they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the whole thing with the monarch and his doctor girlfriend. That's they eventually got married and had to give up the feud with the Venture Brothers.
Yep.
And all that, all the weird stuff that goes on after that.
Are you arching? Great.
Oh, and I love the two henchmen that they focus on all the time.
Yeah, too. 19 and 20 or something like that.
Yeah. God, I need to rewatch that.
Except one of those dudes died, didn't he?
one of the brothers did.
Yeah.
And then they brought him back as a zombie. Like, there's a whole weird thing with the clone stuff.
Yeah, I remember.
Because the dad is like, hey, you two kill each other all the fucking time, so I had to create clones of you. Because you're just stupid idiots.
Yeah.
God, yes.
Speaking of stupid idiots who somehow die all the time, The Walking Dead will be ending after its 11th season, but there's a Daryl and Carol spinoff that will be replacing it.
Oh my.
Yeah, and the weird thing is that what they're in right now is the 10th season. And they're doing half this year and half next year. And then for season 11, wait a second, season 10 finale will now air as a special episode on October 4th with 10 additional episodes to air in 2021 for the current cycle. And then kind of going to the Breaking Bad mode, the 11th season is going to decide to balloon up to 24 episodes and run that over another 2 years. It's still going to be a few more years of this. And then just going to replace it with a series that focuses just on Daryl Dixon and Carol Pelletier. I forget. I haven't heard her last name in a long time. Which those are two of the best characters on that show. At least when I was watching it regularly. Yeah, they'll be doing that at some point. After that, I guess debuting in 2023, which will have plenty of time to get ready for that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's... God, I don't know where I left off. Like season 7 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the fucking compendium of the first chunk of the Walking Dead comics to read.
Yeah.
It's really a giant fucking book on my desk here.
It's a phone book. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that's a pretty good price for it, but also I've had fucking time to read it.
Yeah.
Consistently, at least.
Yeah. Anyway, Wonder Woman 1984, you know, the next Wonder Woman movie that's coming out. It's been delayed to Christmas 2020.
Yep. Yeah, I guess they had an October 2nd dates for it, but decided to push it to December 25th. It's like, sure, whatever. Then I'll get delayed again, because who's going to go to a theater anymore? Especially in Christmas.
Oh, not me.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you're going to have to come to a decision at some point here in the near future. Like, are we going to go see family? Are we going to let them in?
Yeah.
What? How are we going to do this?
Honestly, there's not really a big, at least in the United States, there's not really a big audience for people going to see the movies on Christmas unless, you know, you're Jewish and you know, that's just, you end up going to see a movie and they'll go eat at a Chinese restaurant, but that's about it.
Well, there's a decent amount of people that do the, that's like their family thing, is to go to the movies. And just avoid the big party thing. Which, like, whatever. People are also off for a good bit there for that week, so it's about as good time as any to put out a movie, I guess. But yeah, who knows?
All right. And, okay, next
of course, I was looking at this first comment. It's just not diverse enough yet. They don't want to be accused of offending the snowflakes. What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Those people specifically, seek out comment sections for shit like this on purpose. I've learned to ignore them.
Their username is Dick Jones, so take whatever you want out of that.
Yeah, named him after the villain of the first RoboCop movie.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah. The one that, you know, he ends up getting thrown out of a fucking building.
Yeah, that was cancel culture then.
Mm-hmm. Next up, like I said at the top, the Joe Exotic series, inspired by the central figure of Tiger King, the one that's going to be starring Nicolas Cage, is picked up by Amazon.
Yep.
And let's be honest, he could definitely play that part and nail it.
Yep. Yeah, this one is based on a Texas Monthly article about Joe Exotic. Yeah. I'm not sure when they're hoping to get this done. I assume it's kind of up in the air because you know when they're going to actually be able to start production or filming or any of that stuff. That requires more than a couple people being in the same place at once.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's that. That'll be out at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. Oh yeah, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the drama series reboot. It's picked up for 2 seasons at Peacock.
Has anybody watched that? I mean, has it already happened? And it's two more seasons. No.
This is the first two seasons they're doing.
Oh, they're doing two seasons.
Picking up for two seasons already.
Plus, I think it's been like, what, like 40 years since the show premiered now?
It has not been 40 damn years.
It was the late 80s.
At most.
Yeah, it was
early 90s.
Early 90s, yeah. Sorry. I was not good at math, so.
It's like, wait, it's not 80s? Will Smith wasn't that young then. Or he was too young.
He got his start in the late 80s as a rapper.
Yeah, but he didn't get famous. The show. Yeah. But yeah, no real information about casting or all that stuff. I think it's much like the Joe Exotic thing, like, a lot of that stuff still is in the works.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while for them to get up to the point where they're actually making it.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess in the meantime, they're going to do a reunion special on HBO Max featuring some of the crew there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of weird for these kind of weird shows where it's like, okay, that's going to be on HBO Max, but the reboot's on Peacock, and I don't know where the original show is at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What streaming service it's on.
Mm.
Okay, HBO Max has the entire run of the original show, too. Okay.
Mm. Next up, Disney Plus is going to be rebooting. Here we go. You ready for this? Here's a throwback. Doogie Howser.
Yep.
And they're going to have a teenage girl as the lead, and they're going to set it in Hawaii.
Yeah, so it's called Doogie Kamealoa MD. The girl's name is Lahela Doogie Kamealoa, mixed race 16-year-old girl who works as a doctor in Hawaii. It's like, sure.
Well,
do the like Moana thing, I guess.
Yeah, probably.
It's gonna be 10 episodes, half hour. Her juggling her medical career and teenager life. And her mom is Irish. And her dad is a Hawaiian local boy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And after that, The Three Body Problem, the famous science fiction novel by Si Jin Liu, became the first Chinese written novel to win a Hugo Award. And it's a legit great book. I highly recommend it. It's being adapted for a Netflix series, which is great. And the writers and showrunners are Benioff and Weiss.
Yep.
The guys who did Game of Thrones.
Yep. Oh.
This could go one of two ways.
Yeah.
At least the story is finished before they start.
Well, yeah, technically that is true. Story is finished, so they don't have to make shit up on the fly.
Yeah, they don't have to worry. Because it feels like, I wonder if George R.R. Martin gave them that information about what the show is going to be as like a test run. See, like, okay, maybe he needs to change some things, you know. But yeah, I'm curious how this is going to turn out. Because I don't know anything about the books.
Mm.
But yeah, also a part of this executive producer is Rian Johnson. Brad Pitt is also involved with this with his Plan B Entertainment production company.
Mm-hmm.
And actress Rosamund Pike is also involved with her Primitive Streak production company. And there's a Game of Thrones veteran Bernadette Caulfield is also involved as an executive producer.
All right. So yeah, this can either work or it can be awful.
Yeah.
It's really a toss up here.
And I guess Amazon was making a heavy push for this, potentially making an offer of about $1 billion for this.
What?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, which is more than their push for Lord of the Rings.
$100 bills.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently.
Though it seems like maybe the $1 billion figure was overblown. But yeah, it's it seemed like one of those properties, like, you know, it could be the next big sci-fi property out there.
Mm. Yeah.
Now they got tons of time to get it worked out.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how they decide to tell that book's story, because that book gets into some really esoteric territory.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see, but
This at least seems a better use of their time than they were trying to push that Confederate show.
Yeah, that show was canceled like a year ago.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that also would not have aged anyway well.
No.
From whenever it was started, where it might have seemed like a good idea.
Yeah.
It's like, would be even worse to come out like now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, you guys dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
See if this next one is even better.
Mm-hmm. And finally, last story for the night, we got the first trailer for the film adaptation of Dune, and it was awesome.
And so, who has read the books?
Me!
No.
So I'm guessing,
here, I haven't read them. I suck.
Have you seen the trailer, Teresa?
No, I haven't seen it either. He's been bothering
me. I watched
it,
I was like, I have no clue what is going on here. There's some weird thing about a pain box and some weird fighting.
Yeah.
And then
the stuff that you see them with the fighting, that's like a force field.
Okay, I just knew it was like some sort of like thing like enhance their abilities or something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's basically like a force field.
Yeah. Then there's a sandworm is like, all right.
Sandworms, spice must flow. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, there's Beetlejuice.
Okay,
know,
look here.
A lot of people were busting out the Alaskan bullworm thing from SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah.
So, Brandon, okay, what's up with the... It looks like they have, like, air hoses attached to their noses. Like, what's...
The spice must flow.
The spice, dude.
Okay.
It's one of the things... It's like a stimulant that they have to use.
Okay, so it's like a drug thing?
Yeah, it's the spice. It is, in fact, a drug.
Okay.
That it can be used to... I believe it can slow aging, the aging process.
Okay. So which it's like is why, keeps them alive a lot longer then?
Yeah. Okay. And yeah, the sandworms are actually like a major part of how that stuff gets made.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very obvious when you read the book that Arrakis is supposed to be analogous to the Middle East. And that
yeah,
spice
I figured from
is
the name, I was like, did they make this sound like Iraq?
Yeah.
Coincidence or just...
No, the book was written in the 60s. It's not a coincidence.
Or just be like, we're sci-fi. Guess
yeah.
what? It sounds like Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to the sand planet.
Yeah. Look, here's what the basic, like, plot of Dune is. All right, so, thousands of years in the future, humanity has long since left Earth. Society has formed and reformed several times, and it's now retreated back to feudalism. And there's this family called the Atreides, who are noble family. And Paul Atreides is the son of the guy who's like supposed to be, he's like this very big, charismatic political figure. And Paul Atreides is apparently the child of genetic experimentation by this group called the Bene Gesserit. That's the woman you saw with the pain box in the beginning. And that pain box thing is like a test.
Yeah.
To see what he can withstand. And then what happens is that his father ends up being the victim of political machinations by the rival noble house of Harkonnen. And basically, he ends up being assassinated by the Duke of Harkonnen, Vladimir.
Yeah.
Who is a fat, bloated, disgusting pedophile who's so fat that he has to wear a special suit to float around and move.
So he's like MODOK?
Yeah. But he also likes to diddle little boys.
Okay.
So, in order to escape... the remaining members of the Atreides family, which is Paul himself and his mother, the Lady Jessica, who is actually pregnant with his sister, end up fleeing to the planet of Arrakis, which is a desert planet with a native peoples there who have learned, and they're basically analogous to like the Druze or the Yazidis, or like one of those like Arab native groups that have been in the region for like hundreds of years. And the thing about all of this is Paul Atreides also, because of like the genetic engineering he's undergone, he has two things he can do. One is that he ends up seeing visions when he's asleep, including seeing visions of the woman that he would end up eventually marrying. The other is that he is a... this is kind of hard to describe, but in the past of the Dune universe, they actually had robots, or thinking machines, as they used to call them. But the thinking machines became so intelligent, they eventually took over and enslaved humanity. And then this figure sort of ended up starting a crusade called the Butlerian Jihad, or the Butlerian Crusade, or the Machine Crusade, where they overthrew the robots and destroyed all thinking machines. And so there are people who are specifically bred to have the talent of memory storage and analysis that a computer normally would. And Paul Atreides happens to be one of those people. And the thing is, basically, during the story of Dune, Paul Atreides manages to essentially ingratiate himself with the natives of Arrakis, so much so that they start calling him Paul Muad'Dib, and he becomes essentially a, much like his father, a messianic political figure that ends up becoming the leader of Arrakis. And he also ends up giving birth to... Well, he doesn't give birth, but his wife ends up giving birth to his son, who ends up becoming the God Emperor of Dune, but that's a later story. Did you get all that? Because that's basically just the first book.
Okay, so I'm seeing a tweet on on Twitter. Tell me if this is a good summary here, Brian, in the chat. This guy basically summed up as, the Space McCoys want to take control of the worm planet from the Space Hatfields, so they can drink worm cum and gain superpowers.
Yeah.
That's a very flippant way of saying it, but yeah, basically.
It's not wrong.
It's not entirely wrong. Although calling it worm cum, actually, I don't think that's actually accurate. I think it's more like worm waste or something.
I mean, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and they also have this really awesome cover of Pink Floyd's Eclipse, Brain Damage Eclipse, in it as well. Which I'm guessing is sort of their nod to Jodorowsky's version.
Yep. Yeah.
When he wanted to have Pink Floyd do the music. So, hey, good pick as far as I'm concerned. Because believe it or not, that song is thematically quite appropriate for that story.
Yeah. And they got a lot of big name actors in this.
Oh, yeah.
Timothée Chalamet.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca Ferguson. Oscar Isaac.
Yep.
Stellan Skarsgård. Dave Bautista. Stephen McKinley Henderson. Zendaya. Chang Shen.
Mm-hmm.
David Dast Malchian.
Yeah.
Sharon Duncan Brewster. Charlotte Rampling, Jason Momoa, and Javier Bardem. It's like they're putting lots of money into this.
Oh, yeah.
Getting these people on. The CG looks really nice.
No, we'll see. Soon, yeah. I hope.
It looks competently made. So
yeah. That's out December 18th.
Yeah. Also, apparently, there's going to be a second movie that'll come out after this, so there's going to be like a duology, I guess.
Oh, cool. I figured they do. Like each book or whatever portions would make sense.
Let me just put it this way. There's like a 400-page difference between the first Dune book and Dune Messiah, the sequel. Dune book is like 500 pages. Dune Messiah is like 230.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. Okay, so I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks. With that, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you have a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it linked for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not on there, well, wait a few minutes. We will be. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Felipe Denolfo, Chris Logi, and Teresa Sam.
What? That was Force of Habit.
Okay.
Hi, Phil.
Yeah. Sorry about that. That's Force of Habit. All right, restart. We're going to do that again. And so for Chris Logi, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, I have been with your host, Brandon Perkins. Join us next week for a new show, and I will always remind you, good night, sleep tight, and as we will remind you until it happens, remember to vote November.
Fuck you, Craig.
Yeah.